Live from the mainstream cannabis media empire, I'm Travis Lippert, CEO of Verx Unlimited, Limited, better known as FeedVerx.
I'm Michael Miller, International Marketing Director for PanaceaLife.com.
And I am Scott Jordan, Managing Director of Vertical Company Financial Services.
We usually don't allow that.
Oh.
Until we intro him.
Really?
We got to start all over. No, we're joking. Oh, goodness gracious. Glad to have you aboard, Scott,
Thank you.
The show today.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
You started in 2014?
I did. Actually, I did my first loan in 2009.
2009.
Back
in this industry.
Day, in the industry, nice. Yep. It was for a dispensary, $25,000 loan.
Yeah.
Had to collect the payments weekly in cash.
Because I love it.
He lost his bank account.
Of course,
I mean,
they all did.
Bank accounts went up and down.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a whack-a-mole kind of game there.
Yeah. It still happens. Not as bad, though.
No, not as bad. I mean, at least you've got, you know, some established players here.
Yeah.
That'll play in the industry.
Not TCF Bank, because TCF Bank sucked.
I remember back in the BioTrack days, you know, this is going six, seven years ago, we used to get calls every day from our clients. Ah, here's a new credit card number, you know, because they just keep on getting shut down. Everyone's DBA in their company a few times.
Yeah.
There were a lot of locksmiths in Denver back in 7 years ago. There really was.
And a lot of safes.
Yeah.
A lot of cash in it.
Well, you know, I guess it's easy to DBA a locksmith. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but there seemed to be quite a few of them here back then.
T-shirt company.
Yeah.
So you've raised $31 million now?
Correct. Lent out $31
million. So, or lent out,
you know,
$31 million.
The difference is, you know, when you talk about raise, I associate that with venture capital, where someone is investing in the company, keeping their fingers crossed, hoping that there's an exit event, and hoping that their investment is worth X plus whatever they've put in into it, as opposed to lending money like a bank does, where you know, you look for cash flow, you look for assets, and you make a small amount of money on each particular transaction that pays, you know, that continues to pay. So I really work with companies that are more established and that are looking to expand, as opposed to startups.
What would you call a startup?
Like, startup is someone that's really been in business, you know, less than a year and is either not generating revenue or is generating just a small amount of revenue but not making a profit yet. Okay. You know, the difference is that lenders are looking for a business to be making a profit so that they can afford the new payment. You know, if I lend you $1 million and your payment is $10,000 a month, you need to be making $15,000 a month or more in order to be able to make that payment.
Sure. That makes sense.
Because the difference is that lenders don't make a lot of money per transaction. If a lender makes 5 or 6%, that's kind of on average. So if you figure that, if you're making a nickel per transaction, you need to be right 20 times in a row to take one hit on someone that doesn't pay and defaults.
Mm-hmm. So we've, like our business, we're coming on, 420 is going to be our 4-year anniversary.
Yeah.
When we started.
Congratulations. That's huge in this industry.
Yeah. We started the team almost 5 years ago and, you know, finally started the company on 420 of 15.
On that day, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Great day.
You'll never
forget.
So you
have the poster in there for the cannabis cutback
in
2015.
Exactly.
That was a wild show.
I don't know if you were here or not.
Yeah,
it has the Air Force Academy on it. It's crazy. Because, I mean, we're a veteran-owned company that we all know each other from the Air Force Academy.
Oh, really?
Class of 95. No. So we're not a startup. We, in that regard, we've been around for 4 years. We've had
products
in the market for like 3 years now. And we're not losing money, but it's always just tight. You spend as much as you've got, and we're always
growing.
Yeah, and our growth has been a steady, just like that. But it's time we see these people coming in who need, like, you, the types of numbers that you talk about are unfathomable to me, like the amount of hemp. Like that trailer that got pulled over in Oklahoma, 18,000 pounds of hemp.
Right,
like that. at our current, you know, what we make, it would last us forever, I think, you know, but there right are companies, now, yeah. there are companies like yeah. Panacea that right. are just burning.
Chew that up in yeah. 2 months easy.
Yeah. So yeah. for us to take that next turn,
right.
We can't just keep living hand to mouth and growing it yeah. steadily. We have to, it's evident to me that if we don't scale up and do big things, then companies that are just already built to do big things.
Right.
Like I always talk about toothpaste.
Right.
I want to make toothpaste, CBD toothpaste. Somebody do that. The best person to do that is somebody who owns a toothpaste company right, right now. That would be beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I've done the math on that. That takes square miles of hemp.
Yeah.
But if we don't do the big things now with the brand that we've established, then, I mean, we couldn't have much more than a year before anybody with a processed cheese factory would be the best company to make a CBD processed cheese.
Well, it all starts with that cedar clone in our industry, that's for sure. And, you know, when I said 100 million pounds, you know, even if it's 75 million, the bottom line is this. In a couple months, we're already seeing it right now, it's going to go dry. You know, and then people will be looking at the international biomass out there that's legally here in the United States. Yeah. And that's something that we really need to stay away from. Not that it's not great hemp or whatever out of Colombia or, you know, Europe, what have you. But, you know, I like domestic grown hemp. I like keeping our farmers working and having them scale up and grow with the industry.
Yeah.
You know, they're out there. A lot of people don't realize growing hemp's a bitch. You know, it's hard. It's a hell of a lot harder than growing corn and wheat and all that other stuff. You know, you've got a plant that you've got to watch the whole time and make sure there's, you know, no males and all this other stuff. And then the harvesting and then the shucking and the milling, there's a lot more than just having a big lawnmower going, you know, cutting down wheat. It's labor intensive, you know, and there's a lot into that. So, you know, I would love to be able to see where the United States grows as much hemp as we can use, you know, and maybe someday export our hemp out, you know, would be a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So for a business then that, as I've described ours, like what type of, what kind of options are available to us?
Tell me
like,
what size you are, because I'm not familiar. I haven't.
We have distribution in 99 stores in 19 states. We have 12 SKUs. We do about half of our business online and half of it in wholesale, you know, going out to retailers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and put yourself into the white labeling arena. You know, there's a lot of people that...
Oh, we'll do it. Know, we're working on a couple of white labeling deals.
Because vape pens, you know, there's manufacturers out there, you know, maybe even a Panacea. I don't think it's in the horizon or anything, but it's a lot easier to go to a company like yours who's established and puts out some of the best products in the country that already does that. You know, you know, we like to manufacture, put it in our package, and out it goes. You know,
so yeah, we'll totally do that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have considered it 3 years ago. You know, people were asking us about that. And we were just like, no freaking way. You figure this out.
Yeah.
You go source all the little doodads that you've got to get put together to make a vape cartridge.
And that includes China, which sometimes can be, you know, an issue.
It's a real pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Because all of the vape cartridge stuff is made in one town in China called Shenzhen. And they're 14 hours ahead of us most of the year. Right. And so you have to get on to, you know, just to source a cartridge or like our one thing that we're always going to source in China is our starter kit boxes because they're made by hand.
Those are really nice.
Do that here.
Yeah, those are nice.
I made them. Like, you have to vet these companies because there's tons and tons of brokers and they say that they manufacture something, but really you got to get them on Skype and make them give you a factory tour and make sure that there's no kids working in there and that people, you know, that it's a legit operation. So it, you know, putting all of that together and coming up with a finished product is... you know, time consuming. And
100%.
3 years ago, we just told people, no freaking way, you go figure it out. We got to jump on you big time.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we'll white label stuff.
Sure.
And we're always.
This is a good move.
Yeah.
You know, gives you another avenue, revenue stream.
Yep. So What kind of funding options then for...
It really depends on the revenue and comes down to the numbers, revenue, profitability, and the balance sheet. Mm-hmm. Can you share, you know, what 2018...
We'll do that off air.
I'll do it off air. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had a... every year's been our best year.
Good.
And
nice. That's a beautiful thing.
Last year was, it was a decent year. But this year, if we don't do like six times that business, then it's going to be kind of a disappointment. It'll feel like a failure.
Oh, yeah. This is
going to
be a huge year, especially, you know, when they finally define the rules in terms of CBD and what products you're going to be able to use it in. And, you know, the FDA gets clear in terms of, you know, the manufacturing. I you had Bob Esquino on here, mm-hmm. I think a few weeks ago, and I've known Bob since the early days back in, you know, he's one of the pioneers back in, you know, 14. I met him, and he was telling me that he's had issues with shipping CBD over state lines.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he won't do it.
Yeah.
He will not do it.
He's not going to take a chance on... No. He doesn't look good in orange.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's protecting his marijuana licensing is what he's doing.
Well, that he doesn't want to go to jail because it's illegal.
Highly unlikely a legitimate business will ever even go to court shipping CBD. You know, you can get a slap on the wrist perhaps or what have you. But, you know, what's that?
Why would you get a slap on the wrist? What prevents me?
Slap on the wrist. You know, you put your products into a certain county in a state, and they decided, the sheriff says, no, not in my county, and they take all your stuff off the shelf.
Right.
That's a slap on the hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it happens.
It's an expensive slap, too.
Yeah. But we're not even
all that revenue and all that product.
Like, we don't have, like I said, we're in 19 states, but we don't have any stores in Indiana because it's just not. We're not ready for that yet. Indiana requires this QR code, and we've got all the code built up now so that
you can do that online. QR code.
Yeah,
builder.
Exactly. So, so we have all the stuff in place. We just don't have the label printer yet, and so we're trying to figure out if we should buy like this $500 label printer and print out little square stickers, or if we should spend like $5,000 on this printer that'll do labels and print the lock codes and the QR codes on it on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Like, see, that's the benefit of having financing available to you, because my guess is the $5,000 machine can do more than the $500 machine can do, will last you longer.
Absolutely.
But you're probably thinking, well, you know, I can only spend what's in my checking account, instead of, hey, the monthly payment on a $5,000 machine might be $250 a month, you know, for 2 years or, you know, some period of time. I'm just pulling a number out of the air. That way, you know, plus Uncle Sam picks up his fair share, you know, when you're able to deduct that and take your 179 deduction. And, you know, you get more efficiency because, you know, what I'm seeing in the industry is so many people are getting in, and the large are getting larger. One of the companies within the Vertical family that you've probably been hearing about in the news is Vertical Wellness. We just raised $58 million in a Series A, the largest Series A investment in the industry to date. And our president, Smoke Wallen, has been in New York talking about going public because there's so much demand. When originally it was a $20 million raise that we had, and it got so heavily oversubscribed, he decided to increase it to $58 million. Wow. And so a lot of the large players are getting in. Obviously, we're seeing CVS and some of the and Walgreens getting in, selling, you know, CBD in the stores. I think when people discover it, just like when I first discovered CBD and the benefits of it, it's amazing. I mean, I use it now, you know, for aches and pains, for, you know, when I exercise. I use it on my lower back. I use it for cramping. Mm-hmm. I had a cramping incident in Las Vegas from walking the show in November, and I used it, and it was like magic. I mean, I couldn't believe, you know, how quickly, easily, and, you know, it's relatively inexpensive, you know, to buy, and I just love it. And so I think more and more people, the stigma is off. Once you're getting the big box guys to sell it, more and more people will do it. And it's obviously a land grab as well. I think that you'll see, just like you've seen in the marijuana industry, the small guys are getting bought up by the larger guys. And I think that they'll even be, it'll accelerate the pace of consolidation, because you're going to be able to have the very large, you know, CVS, Walgreens, you know, all of the beverage manufacturers will come in, who already are established, who don't have to go to the Canadian exchange and raise money. They'll go out and buy a lot of the small guys, for their market share, for their expertise, perhaps for some of their intellectual property as well.
So we've been talking to the big box stores since August. We were at the NACDS trade show that was in Denver, National Association of Chain Drug Stores. And we had manufacturer sales reps there representing us. And that started the conversation that has been going on with these big, with Walgreens and CVS and all of these big drugstore chains since August. Mm-hmm. And we're at the point now where we have financing for raw materials, because if they place an order, that is such an enormous amount. We can't grow into that. We have to have a whole ton of money show up, and then we need to spend it immediately on raw materials.
Right.
And then,
That's something my company has introduced in the last 6 months or so. Purchase order financing is what it's called. So, you know, you get an order for $1 million and you got to spend $500,000 to buy product, but you only need it for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And you've got an offtake agreement with, you know, a major company. We can finance those for the 30 to 90 days that you need that.
So purchase order financing, that's a good thing. So we've got that lined up.
We do equipment financing. You asked what we do.
Yes.
We do working capital, you know, financing. So if you need to hire more people or build out a facility, or that's really kind of where we, where I made my name in the industry when I started out back in 2014. I helped the largest marijuana search engine company get money in order to be able to build out and improve their software. And then I went to the largest chains here and helped them with build out, because they wanted to maintain their equity. Little did they know the sky high valuations that marijuana companies were going to get, because you know, it's off the chain. I was reading a statistic from KPMG. The average public company is 134 times revenue. Many are not even making a profit. 134 times revenue.
That's scary.
It's just crazy.
Isn't that throwing good money after bad? In most cases.
It depends, you know, who's behind you and who's going to come in and buy you for a sky-high valuation.
Right.
But the guys, the point that I'm trying to make is by maintaining your equity, by using debt to grow, you get to maintain all of that equity. And when someone comes by with a big checkbook, you know, you're in a position to be able to take advantage of that and have a larger amount of equity available to be able to cash in at.
Yeah. We've done we've done a friends and family round, and we've held off on, like, every day that we can delay doing anything involving equity is in our favor.
Sure.
It's like, you get more valuable every single day that you don't dilute.
Sure.
Right.
And that's the goal. That's why I got started in this business, because, you know, back in the day, back in 2014, nobody was talking about debt because it really wasn't available, only really from family and friends. And, you know, the marijuana entrepreneur was really working extremely hard under extremely difficult circumstances with a lot of pressure. And back then it was jail. It was not, we're going to put you out of business. It was many of the early owners, like, you know, Andy Williams from Medicine Man, Bob Esquino, I think he talked about it as well. They were terrified of one day the DEA coming in and taking them to jail. I mean, there's nothing worse.
Bob still is. Yeah, he is. God love him. But he is.
You know, I mean, losing your freedom is way worse than losing money or, you know, almost anything else other than your life. And so, you know, they took a real chance, and I saw the difficulty they were having just doing normal kind of banking. I mean, back then, before partners came along, there was no real you know, solid banking solutions. And thank goodness Sundie Seefried and her team came along and provided that, at least in Colorado and now in some other states, so that they could at least put their money into a safe place and be able to conduct normal business. And I saw them just working really, really hard with regulations that were changing weekly. I mean, you talk about packaging. You know, I think Bob mentioned it also. You know, it was crazy. They'd invest all this money in the packaging, and then the MED would change, you know, the rules and the regulations. Yeah, yeah. And then have to throw all that packaging out. I mean, that's a heck of a way to run a business.
There's an example of when you need to have a whole bunch of money tied up that you don't necessarily have packaging. Yeah. Like the minimum for our cartridge packaging for the lotion box packaging, we were trying to get that sourced in Colorado so I don't have to deal with China. And we've got it all lined up. And the price, you can make something in America for the same price as you can get it done in China once you reach a certain quantity.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're doing packaging buys, it's always that, like if you look at the top shelf up there, like we've got boxes that have been sitting up there for 9 months, but the products take so long to get here, like the starter kit boxes. Right. If I could buy like 3 or 4 or 5 times as much packaging from Colorado, it could be the same price as you get it from China, and you wouldn't have to wait for a boat ride for it to get here.
Right.
So, but you have this packaging sitting on your shelf that you know, $10,000 worth of just
boxes and cardboard, sure.
Boxes, and yeah. That money is not, you can't use it for anything else until you eventually get rid of it. So that, do you do financing for that?
We can help you with supply chain financing as well. Yeah,
wow,
that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, what I've tried to do basically is replicate a bank in the products that I offer. So I offer lendings for working capital, equipment, real estate, and purchase order financing. Also factoring for CBD products. So if you have invoices, you know, and Walgreens says, hey, we're not going to pay you for 60 days and you need the cash from that,
yeah,
we can look at, you know, selling that invoice. I also provide access to banking for those that are, you know, outside of Colorado where it's much more difficult to get banking. I offer access to banking. I offer merchant processing because that's also been an issue, mm-hmm. and particularly recently with Elavon exiting the business, getting a merchant processing service to be able to, you know, take credit cards, you know, over the phone and do e-commerce is important. And so, you know, with that, my goal is to help replicate banking services for marijuana business owners, you know, on a virtual basis and on a best vendor basis.
So when you say marijuana, you also mean hemp, right?
And hemp, correct. Cannabis. Okay.
Yes.
Were you doing this before the industry?
Yes. So my background is
to qualify.
In 2003, I got into residential mortgages. Okay. In 2005, one of the guys I was working with said, hey, you know, are you interested in learning about commercial? And I said, sure. You know, I'm always up for a challenge. And he said, you find the deals and I'll, you know, teach you how to get them funded and we'll work together. And so it was a great partnership. And nice. So I did commercial loans. Okay. Prior to then going to work for a company called Dynamic Funding, where I got my feet wet and focused in on the marijuana industry.
Okay. I love how a lot of us, including myself, what we did pre cannabis, you know, we brought over.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, you go with what you know. Exactly. And you know, it's a niche. It's a, yeah. And it's a very exciting opportunity. Yeah. I mean, it reminds me a lot of the VoIP industry, a voice over the internet protocol for those that don't like acronyms. In 98, I mean, I was with a company that did voice over the internet internationally, and very similar to this industry. It was a land grab where you're trying to get out there,
sure,
get as many countries and cities within countries as we could.
Sure.
You know, it was illegal in a lot of countries. Yeah, I mean, because you were taking money away from the government, because, you know, in China and a lot of the Asian countries, the government is the one that runs the telephone service and the mail service.
Sure.
And so I remember distinctly... we had a gateway up back then. These gateways were little 24 port, you know, basically routers. And what happened was One day our gateway was not working. We went to call up, couldn't get a hold of the guy. We heard rumor that the police had come in and taken and confiscated him and taken him to jail. It was a 10-year, you know, prison sentence. Really? At hard labor. Yeah. It was
here in the U.S.?
No, this was in this was in Indonesia. Yeah, so
hard labor.
It was no joke.
No, it's not.
No joke.
Did he? We never heard from him again. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, never heard from him again. So, yeah, I mean that's how the industry grew. I mean, look at this industry. Yeah. You know, coming from the shadows of illegality to being legal in some states,
but
then having the issue with hemp transportation and getting stopped, and perhaps one plant out of the 18,000 pounds tests. You know, 0.035.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the drivers who, were just, doing their job.
Yeah. Get arrested.
Are going to jail.
Yeah.
So I think the guy spent 30 days in jail.
Yeah, they did.
In Oklahoma.
Get your stuff milled. Do not transport shucked, and make sure it's all milled to, I don't know what it is, 1 to 3 millimeters or something like that.
You need a homogeneous product.
Well, if not, you get pulled over. These cops aren't stupid. I don't care if there is 18,000 pounds. Believe me, they're going to be picking buds.
They're just shaking the trichomes off of them.
Picking buds, yeah. Because the buds can be hot sometimes.
Yeah. I hope I'm not wrong. Is that a Lucid Mood?
Wow, you recognize it,
logo on your lapel?
It is. It is.
Lucid Mood makes vape cartridges.
They do.
They... I don't know. Do they have CBD-only cartridges now?
I think they just introduced that. Shout out to Charlie. How you doing?
Hey, Charlie.
There you go.
So I have a lot of respect for that company. Have you been involved with them?
I like the pin because it's kind of it jazzes up a kind of a dull gray suit a little bit.
Yeah.
And makes it a little bit more fun. And then you get into interesting conversations. Most people don't recognize, the branding on it. And so, they'll ask about it and you'll get into a little conversation, and I thought I would wear it today.
We need to get V-Virk's lapel pinned.
There you go. Yes. Get something cool.
Can we finance that through your company?
You can.
There
absolutely.
You go. Already.
We'll get you a big working capital loan. How about that?
Can I finance making can you finance marketing spends?
Of course. Yeah.
I'm trying
That's
to
how
put
normal businesses do it. They have a working capital line. And all the expenses that are not CapEx or equipment, they use that in order to finance them.
I want to sponsor a race, a driver in a NASCAR race in late August, and there's no reason to not. I've been working on NASCAR again. We're trying to sponsor Bobby Dale Earnhardt at Darlington in the Xfinity race on August 31st, and everybody's on board. Car owner, Bobby, his business partner, we're all on board. We all got it worked out. Got the deal.
Besides?
Huh? We're just waiting on NASCAR.
NASCAR, yeah.
So I'm starting to get a little bit anxious.
Yeah.
But it would make perfect sense because it's Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s first race back since he retired from full-time racing.
Oh, he's coming back full-time?
He's just coming back for a race in Darlington on August 31st.
Nice.
And his cousin, Jeffrey Earnhardt, is a regular in that Xfinity series this year.
Right.
So you got two Earnhardts in one race. And so we're trying to put Bobby and have three Earnhardts in one race. Think about it, NASCAR. Think about the,
Hear him out, NASCAR. Hear him out.
So, and it's a great deal. But thing is, we've got to, ideally to take advantage of it. Like, say they say yes, then the first thing what we're going to have to do is get Bobby a fire suit made with a big V-Virks logo on it.
That would look nice.
Because all of the promotional stuff that you ought to be doing, NASCAR, the three Earnhardts, leaning together and stuff. We want our logo. We need to get that done, before we're going to see any sort of sales resulting from that sponsorship. We need to.
Right.
So do you do race suit loans? Embroidery loans?
It all would fall into working capital. We'll get you a nice working capital loan. You can spend it as you need it. Just repay it on time.
Well, you'd be amazed at how far, few thousand bucks would would go for most small businesses.
Sure,
like just the ability to, but like buy a machine, just a Hobart mixer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But
yeah, that and, you know, putting your name out there amongst millions and millions of viewers, I'm sure, you know, a lot of TV, you know, coverage will be there because of the Earnhardts.
Definitely.
And, you know, who knows, you know, what big executive will be there that will pick that up and say, you know, we need to go ahead and look at buying these guys or investing in these guys. I mean, you know, just like Altria, you know, invested in Kronos.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get a big slug of cash, yeah, of, you know, $1.8 billion, and, you know, you're off to the races.
And Altria is one of NASCAR's major sponsors, which means...
Are they really?
Yes. One of the things that has transpired before or between May of 2017 when we were on Carl Long 66 at Kansas... and now is that Altria has entered the industry. Now they are a giant hemp, not just hemp, marijuana.
Right.
So everything that NASCAR said to us in 2017 about you're a hemp company, right? They were nothing compared to some of these big hemp companies that are, how about Scotts? They're way big in Hawthorne.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. the
list. It keeps on going.
Coca-Cola. Yeah. Yeah. I've read something I think that now finally credible about Coca-Cola actually working on a CBD infused beverage of some sort.
Sure.
Which, why wouldn't you? If you own a Coke factory, put CBD in that stuff. You know, everybody's going to get into it. So this is it's time, NASCAR.
The only problem right now with, I think, liquids, I'm not sold on the nano technology out there or, you know, as far as water soluble CBD, I haven't seen anything that I would want yet, you know, out on the market. It usually clouds up the water or beverage. Yes. There's some taste, you know, you've got it. They'll figure it out, that's for sure. And then they'll get to the point where they're adding specific terpenes into the Coca-Cola or whatever for this or that, enhance that mood or what have you, you know, but it's got too far on that.
Bob needs to go ahead. Bob, we're calling you out. Well, time to make a good CBD water.
Well, hopefully Panacea is on the way, you know, with their chromatography machine coming in and stuff like that to start pulling out different terpenes.
I don't think you can make it not cloudy.
I think you need to put it in a blue bottle. Eventually, well, you shouldn't have any CBD in a clear bottle to begin with, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
For degradation and what have you.
Somebody needs to make amber-colored vape cartridges. Dude,
there you go. That's your billion-dollar one.
That's my hemp idea. Somebody make an amber or a green-colored vape cartridge, Pyrex, green Pyrex vape cartridge. That would be that would solve all sorts of problems that you have.
Getting back to NASCAR, though, you know, I used to be an avid follower. I mean, just you know, I just haven't been watching over the last couple of years. But I think not only do they need an influx of money, you know, they're losing huge viewership ratings. It would be pretty cool seeing half the cars there. You know, I don't care. Incredibles car
companies.
Or,
exactly.
You know, Medicine
that's
Man going down the track.
Exactly what
you
I know, them.
I think it'll bring in another generation of viewers.
How about some hemp cars?
Yeah.
I mean,
hemp body paneling.
You know, could we do, you know, hemp cars?
Absolutely.
Bryn Gohn.
Have a hemp race amongst all the hempsters that are out there?
Yeah. Bryn Gohn. Bryn Gohn, he's a great guy to sponsor. Everybody ought to sponsor Bryn Gohn. Sprint car.
Yeah, we had him on the show one time.
Sprint car
right?
driver in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He's having hemp body pieces made for his car.
Really?
It's pretty cool.
That is cool. I mean, there's so many great uses for hemp. It's really going to be exciting the next 3 to 5 years to see the evolution. And I think it's going to be as dramatic as it was with marijuana. I mean, I remember back in the day, you know, where there was flower and edibles. And that was pretty much it. There was no concentrates. There was no vape pens. There was none of the extraction, none of the other products out there. Now you go into a dispensary, you know, you got 150 different products, you know, and a lot of different, you know, this was even before, you know, the whole dabbing craze got so popular.
What about, say we want to launch some new products, like you're talking about water-soluble stuff.
Sure.
So we've been working on, you know, different ways
water-soluble,
to make stuff water-soluble, right?
Yeah.
So that's clouded,
right?
But that also is not even mixed up at all. And this was a total failure, but like if you look in the bottom, it's it'll be water dispersible and you can homogenize it, and but it's a real I don't want to drink that.
I don't want a glass of that.
Yeah, but if it's in juice or something.
Yeah,
or
no, no. Gatorade, I'm just saying, as far as the the color,
that's like That's probably how they came out with Gatorade Frost. They were like, "Oh shit, shit, man, this stuff you can't see through it."
Yeah.
So you need to start calling it like Frost.
Now,
water.
What's that one?
Like this one? I would.
Okay, that was water soluble over there.
This is CBD and some other magic in. In water, so we got it to that point,
right?
Which that's not what CBD acts like in water. Trust me, if you haven't screwed with it, it's not crystallizing or anything. It's water dispersible, but it's definitely not clear. And I don't know how people are going to do it, but let's say that you, like, what if we just needed to throw another, like, say, $10,000 into this idea, and we could have a water soluble tincture that. Do you do loans on R&D spend?
Again, it would come underneath working capital.
Working capital.
We would, what we would do is we would approve you for an amount. You would get the money, and then you would decide whether you're going to use, you know, that particular technology, those bottles. We don't want to make that decision. And that's one of the key differences between a lender and an investor. An investor might tell you, hey, I want you to use this bottle made by this manufacturer. And would have some say over what you do, whereas a lender just gives you the money and expects that you'll be able to repay it. So you get to make all the decisions. You get to keep control. You get to go ahead and drive the Veedverk's, you know, airship to exactly where you want to land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you need to get down the road when you hit it.
Yeah. It's an airship. They're so expensive.
You know, in Europe, there's private individuals that own some. And, you know, they're not, you know, humongous. Like,
what about a drone? Yeah. Because that would be cool. I mean, I think, you know, your background, you know, when you have that Veedverk's ship is really, really cool. I mean, it's very distinctive. There was a guy back in 2010 that was doing a one of those silver buses where he was going around to dispensaries and signing people up for, you know, cards. And they finally, the MED came out and said, sorry, you can't do that. But he was driving all, and it was a very distinctive thing. And it was one of the first, you know, buses that that you could actually consume it.
Oh, okay. Nice, nice.
And he'd have a doctor that was going around. Yeah, there it is. There's the background.
See, you could get an airship drone and put Veedverk's in, go to some of the other outdoor sports facilities and see if they can pipe into your camera on that to
there
go live
go.
Through their station.
We looked into.
And then you have Veedverk's going around.
We looked into doing a, still in 2017, we tried to get a hot air balloon that was shaped like a dirigible.
Right.
To fly over the final race of the season, season where they took us off the hood of Carl Long's car.
Oh, right.
And it was just, it was cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
It's, in fact, I wouldn't get even get a loan on something like that because I can't say that it would ever be worth it. Yeah. I mean, it'd be worth it, but it wouldn't make finance. It was really expensive.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah.
You had to like rent the thing for like a month or something. Oh. It was several hundred thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. Which,
well, if you're going to take that around all 50 states, you know, is it one that you actually are piloting in?
Yeah, I think it.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Hot air balloon.
It was a hot air balloon that looked like a dirigible.
Yeah.
But actual blimps are pretty, or dirigibles in this case are.
What's the difference?
A blimp is the it's an inflatable envelope. Like the blimp is blown up with that lighter than air gas. A dirigible has a rigid skeleton with a skin around it, and it's got bladders in it that are each holding that lighter than air gas.
So it's safer. Or
I don't know. It definitely looks cooler. I like dirigibles.
Yeah.
It's
what does yours? How does it fly?
How does it fly?
Yeah. The one that we were sitting in. What's the altitude? No.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we modeled that in 3D.
Cool.
We haven't done a whole lot with it. But
there we go.
Yeah. like our branding is all about the year 1937 when they passed the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937. And so that's the same. If you think about what was going on in 1937, they had gigantic airships that were like bigger than anything I've ever seen in the sky, like huge airships flying over New York and stuff. And that same year, 1937, the Hindenburg crashed. And it's also the same year that Amelia Earhart disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, kind of what our lotion branding is tied into is Amelia. But yeah, dirigibles are cool.
And yes, they are.
It's a, it was a kind of a difficult sell to my partners, you know, when I said, hey, we should build a giant green screen and then have broadcast where we're flying from an airship.
Yeah.
You know, it took a lot of,
it's a lot less expensive doing it this way.
Definitely.
Even though and a lot safer, too. Yeah,
that is true.
It took some foresight. It took about like a year to actually get it from when we built the first wall to this.
You guys did a great job, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
You really did.
Yeah, it's, I wish it was bigger now.
Yeah. Now your partners, do they love it?
Oh, yeah.
The studio?
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
It's cool. You can do anything.
Yeah.
You can do anything that you want.
Yeah.
And you can just educate people about the industry. This has been a fascinating conversation to me because, I mean, I've been asking you about things that affect me directly.
Sure.
Is there too small of a company? Like, say a company is just like a super streamlined one-person operation that's profitable, like,
so we really look less at the number of people, but more at the revenue.
Yeah.
Because it takes the same effort to do a $25,000 loan than it does to do a $250,000 loan.
Right.
And there's so many people out there that need money. So we've elected to look at things above $250,000.
Revenue?
$250,000 in terms of a loan size.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, again, depending on, you know, the finances and how profitable you are, you generally need to be doing, you know, $1.5 million to $2.5 million in revenue on the low end and be making a profit.
So, do you see money?
Yes, all the time in my dreams, when I'm walking. Yes,
do you see interest coming more money coming into the industry?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's been just, it's been nuts. I mean, Scott Greiper from Viridian that keeps track of all the raises and all
they do
the
a good job. On
they
that.
Do a very
they
good
really
job.
They really do. Shout if you're out not to, on their email list.
Yeah,
you know, it's a good report to read.
Yeah, and now they're connected with Marijuana Business Daily and they do a very good job. But in the fourth quarter of 2018, more money came in than combined in 2016, 2017, and the first three quarters of 2018.
Kidding. What, was that the farm bill or no?
No, that was just people looking to get into the industry. Because
saying forget it.
It's become destigmatized.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and this is marijuana money primarily. In the first quarter, they've equaled what they did last year in the entire year. In terms of raise, it's the Canadian public company phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's people are getting more comfortable. It's, you know, we're seeing really what I would call cannabis 2.0 on the marijuana side.
Right.
And hemp 1.0 because it's, you know, what's happening is that the people that got in because they love the plant or used to be in the gray or black market are now being bought out or eliminated because it's really become a game of production and getting your costs down. Because, I mean, I remember back in 2014, you were getting $3,500 a pound.
Yeah.
And that same pound is selling for $800 to $1,200.
Yeah.
And costs haven't shrunk 300%.
Right.
So your margins are much thinner, and so you have got to produce much more efficiently.
Right.
And so as a result of that, and also it's become, I think, a lot, you know, many more states getting in. We've got 33 states now with some form of legal marijuana.
Right.
Obviously, the CBD craze is upon us, and companies are making major size acquisitions, you know. Verano, $865 million, you know, acquisition. I mean, these are big, big numbers.
Yeah. I think it's overinflated big time, though. I personally wouldn't buy a marijuana stock out there because I think the money was too rich.
Right.
I think, you know,
but would you go public now?
If you that's a different story.
You would?
Oh,
would you take a company public now?
If all the Matrix were right, 100%, absolutely. Would I go public if I didn't need to or didn't want to? No. If I had the personal asset to keep on building what I'm building, no.
Or the loans.
I mean, like Constellation and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, they've put so much money into the. There's a lot of investments that have went into companies, and I think the stock is overpriced. Well, that's just my opinion. Sure. I could be 100% wrong. But
time will tell.
Yeah.
Let's come back a year from now. We'll take a look and
mark this down.
And we'll see.
And pull up the stock. Just take a picture of all marijuana stocks right now. And a year from now, let's see.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So have you invested in marijuana stock?
I have. Okay. I do.
I hope it's a windfall.
So far, thank goodness, you know, I'm up about 22%.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think there's some, you know, opportunities there to, you know, pick up companies that are low priced and are, you know, on their way up. Yeah. And I think it's going to do nothing but expand and or get rolled up. So I'm very bullish on the industry.
Good
and,
deal.
Yeah. You know, I'm excited.
It just
about
scares
it.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what about you?
I'm not scared. I think that there are so many products.
Do you own
out
stock?
There. Used to be a pattern day trader. I was at least 3 years, I was an SEC pattern day trader. Right. And I traded almost exclusively small drug company stocks. And if I were still doing that, I'd be all over. I would be making so many trades on these marijuana stocks.
What, on the volatility?
I trade the volatility.
Yeah, that's what I would do because it's there.
Yeah. They're gonna keep going up though.
I think, but how long will it take? It doesn't matter.
I was trading based on sometimes like the tick chart, not just the minute chart.
The tick chart. What's that?
Every trade second? Is a tick on the chart.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I
was gonna be on top of that.
Yeah, I was a machine for a while. I was very into it, but it was bad for my health. And because there was a period of time before the algorithms took
over.
Before the algorithms took over.
Yeah.
And while they were coming online, like during that period of time, if you understood enough about just technical trading, you could just look at any stock chart and.
Dang.
You know, make a pretty decent trade most of the time, you know, on average. Right. Like I had a lot of fun. I loved it.
I bet it could be all consuming though. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to leave because that tick.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Because like
10 hours later,
the number of times that I was up in the middle of the night trading, this just, I won't say there was a company that was definitely a scam and it was very obvious that they were a scam. And but they, you know, their market cap was like pretty big. And I would wake up in time to watch the trades that were occurring in the Italian market, like to see if this one company was gonna drop or go up. But then it became all consuming. I had to quit for my health.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because it can be so exciting and fun as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Big adrenaline rush.
Yeah. I just like patterns. It really clicked with me. But I would be trading the hell out of it. I don't know that I'd buy and hold anything in particular. But
that's what I'm talking about, buy and hold.
Yeah. I mean, I'd definitely swing trade a bunch of these cannabis-related companies.
Mm-hmm. So what's the limits as far as money that you can access for the right investment company?
Really, no limits. I mean, you know, it used to be $5 or $10 million was a lot, but I've got, you know, sources now that'll go up to $50 million.
Okay.
So again, if you have the numbers to justify it, people want to put money into the industry. There's a lot of money on the sidelines looking for good deals and good teams and people that will repay what they borrow. That's really the key thing. You know, to be prepared with your financials, be prepared with your information, you know, provide it in a timely fashion to whoever you're working with, and you can get what you need.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Somewhere 12 to 15 million.
Okay.
Everything's ready.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. Great. I got my checkbook right here.
Nice. Yeah, cut us one. Get them funded. Oh, by the way, how much do we charge for this episode?
$1 million.
$1 million.
Can I make payments?
Of course. Yeah, $100,000 a month. Uh-huh. Yeah. But we're not going to charge you interest.
But no interest.
It's interest free.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I like that.
Well, we're coming up on an hour here. So
are we really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Time great show. I sure does.
I told you this is going to be a great show.
Yeah.
We're going to. Yeah. I have a lot of specific
questions. I said it was
going to
be the worst show we ever did.
Oh, come on.
I'm teasing.
As long as we've known each other, because we've known each other from the old BioTrack days. I was almost going to.
Six years.
Right,
at least.
When you were raising money for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's how we first met.
Yeah.
If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Email is S as in Scott Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, at vertcoast.com, which is short for Vertical Companies. So it's V as in Veedverks, ERTCOS.com. That goes nice together, Veedverks and Vertcos.
Yes, it sure does.
I kind of like
that. I think that's a match.
Yeah.
Good morning from Alaska. Hey, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Good
from
morning
Alaska.
To you. Nice. Well, cool. I tell you what, it's been a great show.
Yeah.
We better jump off because this is going to go on to Dash Radio.
Scott Jordan.
Hey,
Scott,
thank you very much.
Really
Vertical
appreciate it,
Companies. Thank you very much for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for joining. All we'll see you next week.
Take care.
All right. Very good.
Same time, same day, next week.
All right.
Nice.